The Lord is speaking here of a day accepted, the restoration of Zion, day accepted, which is the Calvary. And he's speaking of taking the Lord himself and making him a covenant to the people. And letting the prisoners go and bringing them out of darkness, which means out of intellectual reasoning. So then we see the Lord in a gracious way doing something special here concerning the inhabitants of Zion. A wonderful thing is taking place. Now, I look out here tonight and I see the congregation and tell a lot of people, you know, they stayed home and they were busy, and like the Bible said, some married a wife and some bought land and some had to go somewhere else. A number of things they had to do. Didn't have time to help with the work of the Lord. You know, be here. Real busy. You know, feeling like, well, tonight's not important. It's just Wednesday night. It's not important that we be there tonight. After all, if anything special is going to happen, it'll happen on Sunday when we feel like going. And, you know, they feel like that they know the day to come and the day to stay home. And they'll come in like, kind of like I felt things tonight, you know, with no enthusiasm, not expecting anything, just thinking, well, we're here again, Maybe there'll be something said that might excite us. But as far as any real expectation of God or being with the Lord and seeking God and getting in the secret chambers of God and having the enthusiasm of God and realizing that something great and mighty is taking place like a great locomotive moving all the time, they just don't have that enthusiasm. They don't have that expectation. They just don't have that within them. They don't feel that is there anything like that going on. But it is. It is. I thank God it is. And I might not never get you stirred up to it or make you feel like it, but it is. I don't have to do that for me to know that it's happening. Because as I say, every day there's a great stirring and enthusiasm in my heart. Every night. Because God is the almighty, infinite, realistic God of my life. I see Him, I hear Him, I walk with Him, I talk with Him every day of my life, every night. He's always beside me everywhere I go. I talk to some of the brethren sometimes and they'll look at me with a holler expression, you know. You'll be telling them something and they'll just be resenting you like that, just resenting you. I just had an occasion just recently. I was talking to someone that just resented me with all that was in them because what I said seemed to reflect me, you know, and had something to do with me. Whereas I didn't say anything about me, but they perceived that it had something to do with me. And though they hungered and thirsted after it and really wanted it, yet they resented the fact, you know, that it would be me. It could have been anybody. Could have been a cow, could have been a horse, could have been an elephant, anything. They wouldn't have resented it, but it was me. You know, I said this a lot of times. God wants to use somebody. How do you understand that? God wants to use somebody. Now, see, if He wasn't using me, He might be using a donkey. You'd have to listen to a donkey. Isn't that right? Balaam had to listen to a donkey. That's right. See, he was a prophet. Nobody couldn't tell him anything because he was a prophet. He knew it all. But God just had to get a donkey to get him to listen. Isn't that something? And that really proves a man's intelligence, don't it? God said, now, Balaam, you think you're so smart, we'll just talk through what's supposed to be the dumbest thing in the earth to you, a donkey. That's the Lord for you. Now, see, if God wasn't using me to speak to you tonight, He'd probably be using Brother John Jameson. If He wasn't using John, He'd be using Brother Al. If He wasn't using Al, He'd have to use some human being tonight, wouldn't He? Wouldn't He? Or then what's wrong with Him using me? You'd have to listen to a human being anyway, wouldn't you? So then what difference does it make which human being it is? As long as God doing the talking. That's all that's important. All right, so let's live by that code in our life. And let's realize that God has to work through human instrumentality. And that if we don't listen to man, He may have to speak to us through a rooster like He did Peter. But nevertheless, let's just make up our mind that God wants to talk to us. And when they sit in our congregation like that, let's just go on doing something for God anyway. What about that? What about that? Praise God. Brother, if you didn't think He's so important, the Lord will do something for you. You know, we look in the mirror and we think, my, who looks like me? Boy, I could really say that, you know. But we do, you know. We look in there, we think, my, who looks like me? Like a fellow said not too long ago, said every time he looked in the mirror, he literally shocked. Said he thought he was so pretty. Said he was shocked. Said he just couldn't hardly believe it. Said he looked in the mirror and said, I can't hardly believe it. But he sees something looking back at him, you know. Of course, I don't know where everybody agrees with us when we feel that way or not, you know. But if we didn't feel so important, if we just get out and feel so lowly, you know, and just say, God, we're nothing. We need some help. We want you to use us. We want you to speak to us. We want you to speak through us. We got time, Jesus. We're not too busy paying on a nice automobile and building us a nice home and making a lot of money and taking care of our business and keeping our good name so everybody look up to it. We're not too busy. We got a little time. We'll come over to your place and dig a ditch, or we'll do something for you. How many of you like to do that? As I said, I just wish you'd stick with the Bible and stop talking about digging them ditches and all them kind of things. What I want is the knowledge of the Lord. That's a good way to get it. It's a way to get it. Like that prophet said, dig a ditch. God's going to put some water in it. All right, so we come up here and we say things not to make light of you, not to mock you, not to be a wisecracker, but we want to stir you up and awaken you, because some of you are so deep in slumber and so carried away with yourself and what you think about your way of life and the things that you do, until you just won't listen to God or to the man of God. You just won't do it. That's why God chooses such foolish, childish ways to approach you. It's because you do feel like you're so important. So God just uses the most simple, confounding ways to talk to you, to make you realize how little and unimportant you really are. See, in the universe, we're just a little speck. I remember Oral Roberts one time, many years ago, when Oral was struggling and really trying to do something for God. He said one thing that really helped him. One day he got to wrestling with God, and he was on a fast and been fasting for a number of days. And up until that point, he thought he was a pretty smart, sharp sort of a feller, it appeared. But he said all of a sudden, while fasting and praying and being closed away in his room, that he realized he was one tiny little speck in the entire universe wrestling with the great, almighty, infinite God. That he didn't count nothing, didn't measure nothing. One tiny little speck wrestling with God. And then after that, the Lord began to use him. And did you notice that when he got away from that and got way up and got important, did you notice God stopped using him? Did you notice that? Did you know the same thing happened to Saul? Saul was so timid, he'd go over here and hide somewhere. And he'd get over there and he'd hide away from everybody. And the Lord sought after him, big in stature but little in heart. Raised him way up great, and then after a while he got real big in his own eyes. When he did, you know the Lord stopped using him? Are you listening to me? I said the Lord stopped using him because he got big in his own eyes. That's the problem with the preachers of today and the people in the church today. They get big in their own eyes. God shows them something, God helps them, and up they go, you know. But don't feel important, because you're not. Nobody is important but Jesus. If you'll realize that Jesus is important, he'll tell you something. He'll come over to your house and visit with you. And he'll let you know something. But if you think you know something, the Bible said you don't know something as you ought to know. And what is that? That you ought to humble your heart in the presence of the great God and realize that you're nothing. That's what you ought to know. All right, so we come here and try to stir you up, and we try to tear you down and get you out of the way and shovel you out the door, so that we can build up Christ Jesus in your stead, and we'll sit here as the body of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, not you living but him, just burying you and throwing you in the dirt. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return, Jesus said. All right. And scientists say you're worth 90-something cent, and I believe it's devaluated since then. Going down all the time. So then, who is important? Jesus is important. Amen. Are you important? No. Is Brother Pike important? No. Is Brother Roberts important? No. Is Brother Branham important? No. Is Paul important? No. Jesus is important. He's the only one. All will go the same way, the way of the earth. All of them go the same way. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. The breath of life goes back to God who gave it. When we realize that, then we'll have a respect for God. See, and when we have a respect for God, he'll come and talk with us. He'll pour out his life in us. He'll pour out his love in us. He'll pour out his heart in us.
As long as we think we're big and strong and sassy and temperamental, and people got to listen to us, you know, and we got the answers, and we'll punch you in the nose if you don't pay attention to us, you know. Somebody said, Brother Pike, why do you talk like that? I talk like that because you act like that. See, isn't that the right way to talk? Isn't that the right way to talk? Sure, I need to talk on your level to where you can understand it. Because that's the things that you do. Even on your job, you do that. You do that with one another. See, you get temperamental, you get upset. You say, I'm a great evangelist. I just can't see how I'm going to stay around here in Bethlehem. Man, with all I know and all I'm supposed to do and all I should have done, I got to get out from here. And some of you don't as much as take care of your wife and pay your bills. I don't know how in the world you're going to evangelize the world. The Bible said, be of a good report of them without. That's the first thing you want to do is establish the right kind of name. And the Bible said, if you won't provide for your own, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. You couldn't be qualified for the ministry, not even to give a good testimony as a Christian. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, I know that shoe's tight. I know it's tight. All right, I'm not scolding you. I'm just awakening and arousing, you see, because it is a late date, children of God. We need to get into this thing and realize, you know, you look at Brother Pike and you think, well, my, I could believe something great was happening if I didn't see him. But one look at him tells me ain't nothing great happening. Come on now. I mean, I see some of you, that's the way you're thinking of in your mind a lot of times when I'm talking to you as individuals. I just don't see nothing great in you standing there. Now, if there's anything else, I could see it. But, my, when I take one look at you, that takes all everything I could think about happening great out. But nevertheless, something's happening. In spite of the fact that Brother Pike is here, something's still happening. All right. So then, it is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It is a wonderful thing not to look at Brother Pike. It is a wonderful thing to look at Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to enter into those doors there, not as coming to some building at Bethlehem that you helped build and some place that you just put up and ain't nobody there and ain't nothing happening, but to remember this is the church of the living God, that God, the Holy Spirit, has built it and God has established it. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, this is just one of your brainstorms. But it's like a boy that come here a number of years ago, come here and prophesied and said, God said, I will build a place as a memorial unto my name in this area. And said, Brother Pike, I've come from California. Said, this is it. Said, God spoke in our midst back over yonder among a bunch of Methodist people that got together. How many know Methodists prophesy? Well, I was over in Israel, James, remember this. Well, I was over on the Mount of Transfiguration back in there somewhere. About that time, a Baptist, he jumped up and began to prophesy. I tell you, when God comes, a donkey will prophesy. When God gets around, anything will prophesy. A rooster will even do it. Praise God. I tell you, when the Spirit of God starts moving, you don't need no preacher. Everybody will be a preacher. Things will start happening. So then, see, he come here, that means that God is doing something in this area. But see, don't ever think about Brother Pike, the old bald-headed nothing that lives down yonder that don't know nothing. Don't think of it like that, see? Just think of me as being a pastor that's a helper of your faith. But think about this place being a divine ordination of the eternal God. And that God, the eternal Father, is doing something here. And like the meeting we're setting over in the Carolinas, not just another meeting. Let's don't get the idea that we're just setting another meeting. These meetings are of God. God's doing something in these meetings. Something special is taking place. Let's stir ourselves up for God. David said, I stirred up my pure mind. Let's stir ourselves up for God and let's see something moving for God. After all, when God moves, that's something mighty. Did you know that? When you think about the eternal God taking time to come down to the earth and doing something, I tell you, that's mighty. That's mighty. Like David was telling me today, all the young boys has begun to simmer down. I said, David, they don't give me any more trouble. A lot of them did give me trouble, but God troubled them. They don't trouble me anymore. He said, Daddy, said, they're changing. So they begin to think about making a living. They begin to think about what their lives are going to amount to. They've been through the fire over and over and over. And some of you have been through the fire. And some of you are still going through the fire more because you won't listen. All right. Somebody said, that ain't very good preaching. I can tell the way you're thinking, you know. But I think it's real good preaching. I guess because I'm doing it, you know. People kind of partial. But anyway, I feel that God would have me to stir up your mind by telling you these things and reminding you of these things. See, something great and mighty is happening. So don't look at me as I feel that somebody's looking at me right now. I can feel your spirit. Don't look at me like that and resent me like that. Don't do it. See, you're not going to hurt me. I don't have to say anything about it. I can pass through the whole service. But you're going to go to hell for it. So I try to say it so that you'll know better than to do it. See, I say it for your reason. All right. Like a brother come and told me last night, said, Brother Pike, said, the thing that you said it happened. That it happened. A few days ago I said it. It didn't look like it was going to happen, but it happened. Like that. Like this thing that we're speaking of here tonight. It's like this meeting we're having up yonder. Let me talk to you just a little. Amen. See, the meeting setting over in Charlotte, it's not just another meeting, but there is something taking place. That little doll coming out of the convent, as I was saying a little bit ago, and the head being off of it, think now, it had been around there with the Catholics with the head off of it, but all of a sudden the head was put on it. There, the Bible said there's a war in heaven, and all of a sudden there was, you know, how do you know that I spoke of our painters out here as fallen symbols of angels? Isn't that right? And there was over there. The Bible speaks of war in heaven. And I was speaking of the visitation and speaking of the things that was taking place. And out of that, here comes forth that little doll. And the head is placed back on it. Hallelujah. See, the head is placed back on it. And then it went through the fire about 6 or 7 times. Beautiful little statue. And since when does Catholics ever write a little note saying, and we give this statue to the man of God? I mean, when do they call a Protestant a man of God? Why, they hate Martin Luther just because the people called him a man of God. But when does that happen? It happens when God makes a special move. It happens when God is in the arrangement. It happens when God says it has to be that way. That's when it happens. It happened because it is the act of the living God. From Calvary, Jesus Christ fell into the darkness, went down into the tomb, went down into death. Now you say, but Brother Pike, he was resurrected, but you haven't seen him. He was resurrected and sat yonder at the right hand of the Father. The blood-covered body was set right yonder in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Why? So that it could be a blood atonement. You haven't seen that body. That body hasn't come back. Nobody's seen that body. That body was taken to heaven. It won't ever be seen until it comes back. Oh, come back down here to gather the church, or come back in Revelation 19. They won't see it. Nobody will see it. Why? Because it was hid away. You understand what I'm saying? That means that that body, as far as God was concerned, went into the darkness of the carnal understanding of the people, which was indicated by the dark age where the Catholic people took everything and hid it away and tried to get every relic, everything that they could get, everything, and hide it away in their own little way of life. And how that they kill the martyrs and kill the church and kill the body of Jesus to make it all go into the dark age. See, the death. It was the death. But the Bible said it would come up in the evening time, and there would be great light, that God would bring up Jesus Christ in the evening time, and there would be great light. And sure enough, if it's in the Catholic Church, it stands to reason it should come back out of the Catholic Church. Because it is the Catholic Church that's carried the body. Isn't that right? It has carried the membership of the body, not the headship. They say that we carry the headship, but they haven't carried the headship of the body. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of God. They've had a false head. That's where the problem is. A false head. And God is fixing to dethrone the Pope. Take their head away from them. You say, I don't believe it. Wait and see if it don't happen. God is going to dethrone the Catholic Church by taking the Pope down. And God is going to raise up Christ, the revelation, the head of the church. It's got to come. Jesus Christ is the Word, the spiritual revelation. And thus it must be until He in His fleshly form sets down upon the Great Pyramid. Now, of course, Great Pyramid is Jerusalem. Check it out. That's the way Jerusalem built. Now, here's the thing. If this little doll comes out at this particular time, Somebody would say, you know, ain't nothing to that. Bunch of crazy people out there at Bethlehem talking about dolls. You know? But we're not crazy. Said, Paul, you're crazy. You're crazy. Said, no, I'm not crazy. Said, well, you're beside yourself. Said, for Christ. Now, a little doll coming out from a convent, given to us saying we give this to the man of God. They got more respect for him than some of you have. They at least think I'm a man of God. Amen. They said we give this to Brother Pike, the man of God. Amen. That's better than some of you think, you know. All right. So then the world at least acknowledges something is taking place. Amen. So then here comes the little doll. Now, no head, but the head was put on it. The head was placed on the little doll. Why? Because the body is dead without the head. There's no resurrection of the body without the head. And then, of course, the first thing at the visitation, when the child is born, there's a headship. That is right. And from that knowledge of Calvary, they work with the membership, the physicians, until at last the toes, the 10 toes, the Bible speaks of it, the toes come forth at the end of the church ages, and the mystery is finished of the birth of the child. With that, the child goes up to the throne. Is that right? Goes up to the throne. Now, like I said, this little doll coming like it did, it had to do with being caught up to the throne. Now, let's examine it just a minute and look at it through the foolish and abased things of the world and yet through the mind of God and see if that's right. Now, if it's right, it'll make sense. Isn't that right? If it isn't right, it won't make sense. But if it does make sense, then there's something to it. Now, somebody said, well, where'd you get it? Out of the funny papers? It's for sure I had to get it from somewhere. Isn't that right? If it makes sense, if it's something, I had to get it from somewhere. Now, if it sounds to you like it didn't come from college, and if it sounds to you like it didn't come from the comic strips, and it sounds to you like it didn't come from the heading in the newspaper, then it must have come from God. It must have come from somewhere. It's got to come from somewhere. All right. Now, so it is a foolish and a base thing to you. A foolish thing. I'm foolish. That's why God uses me and not you. See, some of you are not so foolish, so God can't use you. But I'm a foolish thing, and you know I'm a foolish thing, see, so God uses me. Same way with the little doll. That's just a foolish thing in the eyes of the people, but yet God used it. Isn't that right? Take Brother Michael. Folks think he's a foolish thing too, so God used Michael. All right? So then, he didn't use some of the fellows that were so brilliant that kept criticizing Michael, did he? You know, they were too brilliant. He used a foolish thing according to their calculation. All right, so then, look at the little doll. Here comes the little doll. It comes up here. It has a definite significance, a spiritual significance. A significance that is so... Somebody say, oh, little old doll here at Bethlehem, you know, nothing. But yet, the significance of it is so great and so mighty at this little old no place, Bethlehem. And these little old nobodies messing with it. It is so great and so mighty that it has a bearing of all eternity from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, well, I don't see all of that, but I do. That and then some. All right, so then here is the little doll. It came over. Why did it come over? Because God had to come over. Why didn't it come over before? Before the camp meeting. Why did it come over before all of these things? Because it would have been out of place. See, God couldn't do that. Everything has to be in its order. Everything has to be in place. Why didn't the test tube baby come at another time instead of coming here right here this time? Because, like I said, the child has to be born. It means that the doors to the Gentile church is closing, just like I said this camp meeting had to do with it. And from here on out, God's going to close them great doors, and you can feel that you're important and feel that your grandmother's got to come in, or your granddaughter, or your son, or whatever, but God's going to close them doors, and them people are going to go to hell. It don't matter how much you fast and pray or whatever you do, when time comes for them doors to close, they're going to close. And if my son is left out, he'll go to hell just like your son. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean God's going to give a special privilege to my son. If my son don't straighten up and get in, he'll go to hell. And your son's going to do the same thing, and your daughter's going to do the same thing, your mothers and daddies and all of them going to do the same thing. Brothers and sisters, God isn't going to wait for Brother Pike or anybody else. When the time comes, that's going to be it. All right, so then I see that, understand that, I face that. That's why I try to talk to God all the time, day and night. Because I know that once that happens, my children can't come in. My loved ones can't come in. So I've been trying to take advantage of every minute that I can while there's time. All right, the little doll. Look at the little doll coming in. Why Charlotte at this time? Why the white tent at this time? There's a reason. Why is it that this has happened? Why haven't I had another tent meeting before now? Last year we closed out the 7 tent meetings. It had to do with the church ages being closed out. What is at the end of the tent meetings or the church ages? When I spoke of Brother Wilson having to do with the end of the church ages, having to pass those 7 churches, and that belt, the 20th century prophet, going to him, he gave it to him. What it had to do with? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know some of you not following me, some of you don't care that much about it, but some of you really want to know what's going on. Just a few. All right, now some of you don't put no stock in it. It ain't that important to you. You don't believe it anyway. You just want to hear it to see what it's all about. But some of you actually base your life on it. You believe it's absolutely thus saith the Lord. You believe that. All right, now, so then in this being caught up to Charlotte, the queen city, the child being caught up to heaven at the end of the church ages, the first tent meeting, the child being caught up to the heavens. We went down, all the way down into South America, down into the heart of the earth from the crucifixion, all the way down. It followed the pattern. I said, Betty, when we got ready to leave Atlanta, I said, now I'm going to tell you this, we're in for trouble. I said, you and me are really in for it on this trip. Is that what I told you going out of Atlanta, Betty? I wouldn't tell her till I got her in the coach and got the doors closed and got over there. Now, I said, but me and you are in for it. And we was. All the way down and all the way back, it was nip and tuck. We almost lost our lives. Everything went haywire, but God reached the souls that was in prison. All right, so then we come up out of that. When we come up out of that, then we have this meeting here of the closing of the doors to the Gentiles. This little dog came in. Now look at that little dog. Here it comes in. What does it do? We are called up to the throne. You follow me? See, the Charlotte meeting. Over on Wilkerson Boulevard. Why there? Now notice this. Just put a few things together here. Notice this on Wilkerson Boulevard. What place is that? The same one that Brother Ted King was at the last time. What's that got to do with it, somebody said? Well, let's just look at it and see what that's got to do with it. Now see, so up we go. Up into the heavens. That's what Carolina has to do with. As in heaven, so on earth. Up we go to the heavens. Up to the Queen City. Why up there? Because that's where Brother David Allen's at. Amen. See, like I made the statement concerning this thing out here on front, going around and around, the reading on it, the wording on it. Now, David ordered us one. I said, he may get back. I don't know. I said, but according to what I understand, I said, we'll get that one out of David's cleaners up yonder. And so here it is down here. It had to do with the fountain open in the house of David. Now, what's all that got to do with what you're saying, Brother Pye? Got a lot to do with it. Now, so then, here we are. Caught up to the throne. You say, you're caught up to the throne. Any man that's caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ in the mind of God is caught up to the throne. Anytime a man gets out of his old carnal mind, he's out of the rims of death. He's crossed over the Jordan. He's in Canaan land. He's caught up to the throne because that's where they set the throne in Canaan land. All right. Now, if you've not got out of your human reasoning, resentment, fault-finding, temper, backbiting, you've never got up to the throne. But I found my way up there, and I'm happy. I like it up here. All right. That's what all this has to do with at Bethlehem. That's what these 7 candles have to do with. That's what this church has to do with. The panoramic view, the little booth up in the middle of it, all of this has to do with that. So then the man-child was caught up to the throne. Up to the throne he went. The little doll coming in. The Carolina meeting. This white tent. You remember Brother Branham spoke of the white tent. Now, the white tent coming in. Here, caught up to the throne. Why Wilkerson Boulevard? How many of you remember that it was Wilkerson that just recently wrote the article that said that destruction would strike America, that he saw it in a vision, and that the thing would strike America? How many of you remember that? Isn't that something? That right here when the camp meeting is closing out, right here when the doors to the Gentile church is closing, right here the white tent that Brother Branham spoke of, right here at the end of the church ages and the type, and not only the type, but everything closing out, saying that Brother Branham was the end of the church ages, comes the revelation of Jesus Christ, comes the little doll, comes the man-child, comes the forming of the members, being caught up to the mind of God, which is the rapture, which is the throne, the tent going up on Wilkerson Boulevard, and right over across from there is Moorhead, where Brother David's cleaners are. Now what has that got to do with it? The American cleaners. Here not too long ago, we made the statement that as far as we could tell, unless God divinely rerouted things and brought it to pass by some miraculous thing that I have not seen, that David Allen's cleaners would go down. Whereas I believe that with my heart. It may not happen, but I believe it will. And I made a statement to David. I talked to the others about it, and David remembered it. And David said the Lord has revealed to him that he'd do it another way. He'd work it out another way, whereas he might do that. But it is a true fact that they did cut the road off down there, made it a dead end down there, and he couldn't even get people to come to the cleaners, had to work it through the law, everything fell into his type. You know, it did go that far, didn't it? The American cleaners, and I said the end of grace, the American cleaners going down, after the church ages, after the doors right here, you know, being closed out here at the little bank, the doors typically being closed in the camp meeting, and then the child caught up to heaven. Destruction on America, that is on David Allen's cleaners. David having to do with God. David having to do with God. You understand what I'm saying? David having to do with God. We spoke about it in connection with Bill Padares building up there and his work, how it would go down, what would happen. Now, David having to do with that, Brother David Allen was the one that called about the tent. That is about the lot. And the man that told him he could have it, his name is Mr. Godley. See, David follows the pattern of God. So Mr. Godley freely gave us a place to set it. All right, now, David said, he told the brother, said, I remember what Brother Pike told me about my cleaners. He said, all the things he's told me has always come to pass. But this, he didn't feel like it would come to pass. And he's hoping it wouldn't, and it may not. I'm just saying what I understand. But he told the brother today, he said, yesterday I learned that the city hath already granted them the rights to tear my place down and put the highway straight across where my cleaners stood. Now, it shook him up because it didn't happen, I believe, until yesterday. The destruction of America, the American cleaners, Wilkerson Boulevard, the man saying destruction was coming to America. Here, the cleaners he's talking about completely going down. Somebody said, what is all of that? The foolish and the base things of the world, so that you smart people can't see it. Hid it from you. And so then, there it is, over there, everything shaping together. What's that got to do with it? All the church ages ending. Brother Branham speaking about the tent. The white tent going up where Brother King was. What's Brother King got to do with it? That goes back to Mr. Godley. Now, but looking aside from that, it was Brother Ted King's tent that was brought down here that I said would go over to Brother Steve Epley's place, the Bride of Christ's place. Spoke of what it had to do with in the bus, what it had to do with the Greyhound that we bought. What it had to do with my arm was cut here on the little cross on that building that had to do with the capstone down there and how the Jewish doctor had to do with it. What it all was about. The bleeding and everything. I spoke of it. I connected it with the fire out here. How that this fire on Saturday, the Sabbath, the Jewish day, after the camp meeting, the closing of the Gentiles, July, the fireworks, the independency, coming into the church. How that out here I took Richard's hat and then we set the place afire. Everything was burning. The law was out there. Everything was upset. They was announcing that Little Bethlehem was on fire. Praise God. What's that got to do with it? The tent over here in the Carolinas. Look at it. What does that tent have to do with? It was that same tent that Billy Paul was under. The same one in that last closing meeting. Billy Paul was under it. The same one that Brother Wells, I spoke of the fall of Brother Wells. Brother Wells having to do with the new coming in. Brother Wells, he was under the same tent. Brother Billy Paul was under it. What's all that got to do with it, Brother Pike? Brother Branham spoke of the white tent. There sat the old tent. There it went out. Then the white tent come in. What's that got to do with it? The resurrection and the man child being caught up to the throne. What's that got to do with it? The same thing that the voice spoke to me when I was in Central America down yonder, when I was high up in the mountains, concerning Brother Branham and concerning the things that I saw there in the vision. Everything is perfectly fitting together to a T. Everything. Everything. That really tears a brother all to pieces. Because he wants me to believe that he's with me, and yet he's not with me. And he can't stand the idea that this thing might really be what Brother Branham spoke of, because he wants to believe it was the way that Brother Branham said it. The other way around, and wants to be with me at the same time. That is to make me think he's with me, but it's working out that way anyway. In spite of all of your brilliance and what you figure and how you feel about it, God is bypassing you, and it's working out his way. And your little puny thoughts and whatever can't stop it. You just got yourself in a tailspin like a fly in a spider web, that's all. All right. So then I thank God because even though I feel that old devilish thing that strikes at my spirit to cause me hurt, yet it don't stop me from these glorious things of God. It just cuts you off from them. All right. Live in your mind as you will and your thoughts as you will. But nevertheless, this great thing is taking place. Here it is, right before us. It looks like that everything is working out just perfectly for the tent to be up there, for it to be in the right place, for it to have to do with the closing out of the church ages, for it to have to do with the catching up to the throne of the man-child, to have to do with the resurrection of Brother Branham and the power of God coming in, having to do with America. It's even on the corner of Sam Wilson, even having to do with Brother Wilson, having to do with my dad and Uncle Sam. Everything, the American cleaners, everything is just perfect. God works everything just perfect. Every little foolish thing just so beautifully perfect to where it's just so glorious. Even the traffic is 6 lanes, which just makes it perfect for the setting. Another thing is Franklin Hall hasn't been long closed out. And Franklin is wild and rentless and reckless, which believes in licensing women. Just mail him a letter and tell him you want to be a preacher and a woman or whatever, you'll get a license. See, and that woman thing going out because Mr. Godley said he didn't like it when he was over there because he disturbed the neighbors and he done things that was displeasing to Mr. Godley. So Mr. Godley didn't like it. And then the man that's on there right now with his tent, Brother Ackerson, seemed to be a real nice fella. Know him from quite a ways back. But he is the man, to the best of my knowledge, or one among him, and I believe he's the man that wrote the song, "Go Forth Ye Reapers and Evangelize the World." Met him up at Brother Woodruff's not too long ago, and it has been quite a while now. Years has passed by pretty fast. But met him up there, and we, along with Brother Woodruff, had a part in helping him to find the light concerning baptism in Jesus' name, and Billy Andrews helping him to find it. It goes back to these benches and connects it in with him because he was there at that time. It has to do with Brother Branham in his life and the different things. We have to just go on and go on and go on because it's a chain reaction. It don't stop. One thing and then another thing and then another thing. And I have to go back through all the stuff that I've told you about in the past and pick up more that has been shown me in the future and tie it all together. But what I'm trying to do is spot just a little bit here and a little bit there to where you can just see that it links together, you know. Links together, that is the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? All right, something is taking place. The day you say, what's taking place, Brother Pike? Why should you get so excited? I'm getting so excited because God's fixing to rain fire and brimstone down on you. That's why I'm excited. I don't want him to rain it down on me. It might not excite you, but when the first fire and brimstone starts falling, you'll get excited. Somebody said, well, I don't think nothing's going to happen. The Bible said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. That's at Little Bethlehem as well as every other place. The fire and brimstone is on its way. It's on its way. Somebody said, well, what day do you expect it? I expect it to come the day that you don't expect it. That's what the Bible says. It's coming in the very day that you think not, in the very hour that you think not. And the day that you don't think it's going to happen, that's the day it's going to come. All right, so then it is a sad, dreadful, fearful time for the world. But it is a thrilling, exciting time for me. Now, it doesn't bother some of you. You don't watch too many television programs, and you don't see too many people killed and resurrected and heard too much over the radio, and the devil's done all that to kill you out and to null your senses and to stop you to where you don't get excited over anything anymore. He did that so that he can catch you unaware. And so that day could come upon you unaware, that nothing don't stir you up, nothing don't wake you up. But I'm glad it stirs me up. It wakes me up. I tell you, it keeps me awake in the wee hours of the morning. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. It keeps me awake all during the night. It keeps me awake because I know the fire and brimstone is on its way. And I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be part of it. I want to escape the things that's coming on this earth, and the only way to do it is to pray always. Somebody said, for what reason? That you may be accounted worthy. It sounds like you're not worthy unless you pray always. You love Jesus? Ain't that what it sounds like? Pray always that God may account you worthy. So then the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, to meditate in His laws day and night. Don't ever stop. Don't never get your mind on nothing but prayer. Keep your mind on Jesus from the time you wake up in the morning until you go to bed at night, and dream about Him when you go to sleep. And then if you wake up in the middle of the night, start thinking about Him again. Keep your mind on Him all the time. Because the Bible said it might be at the cock crowing. It could be in the evening time. It could be any time. But it's coming. It's coming. All right. So the Lord will restore Zion. The Bible said He will restore it. God will make a covenant with Zion. Everything will be established. And He'll make her rejoice again. He'll bring her turn her sadness into singing. Bring her singing and gladness of heart once again. All of these things are taking place. And what is so wonderful about it is right here in the midst of us at little Bethlehem, with the little old foolish abased things of the world that you could never receive, God has opened His life and way of life to you. So then I thank the Lord for it. I come here not because I think that you're going to receive it, not that I think you're going to pay any attention to it. Many of you are going to explain it away, think it away, and treat it as the foolishness as the Bible says it is in your understanding. But see, I've done my job. I've come and told you what I'm supposed to tell you. I've come just like some of the people of the Carolinas, making light of it, making all kind of fun, everything, you know, because of the gossiping tongues of the wayfarers. But nevertheless, something's happening. As a matter of fact, I remember when we were up there at Brother Ted King's meeting was when I warned Brother Bobby Wells and he wouldn't listen. And Bobby just flipped over and went out and got all messed up and on his way to hell. Somebody said, you don't know where he's on his way to hell or not. He repented over them things and he come back. I just got word the other day he after repenting over me, turned back and went back to the same old slop hole. You say, Brother Pike, are you talking about Bobby? I'm talking about the slop hole. Anybody that goes to it, whether it's me, you, or Bobby, anybody's still a slop hole. Went back to the same old thing, and I understand he's doing the same old way. But we warned him, we told him, we talked to him, tried our best there at the meeting to tell him what was happening. But he informed me that he was a Brother Branham follower. He knew all about everything. He knew the books. He understood the books of Larkin. I tried to mention something to him, said, I know all about that. I've been through it, know all about that. I know all about this predestination, everything else. And so you see where it led to. That's where a lot of them is led to. It's wrecked up. A man, a great man, a man outstanding, a man that probably knowed two or three times as much as I knowed, but look where he went to by not listening. Sometimes a donkey might be talking to you. You can't ever tell, but it might be God. Might be a rooster, but it might be God. And it could be an old bald-headed preacher by the name of Pike. It could be God. You might ought to listen. You can't ever tell. All right, so then, I don't say that to scold you, to hurt you, but I say that to make you stop and think. It could be God. See, he was getting a visitation from God. He didn't realize it. I warned him. I said, the Lord showed me you're getting bitter over the thing. Wasn't long, he was gone. See, I've told you the same thing. I've told a number of others here that what the Lord showed me, they're out, they're gone. Some's been in bathing suits since that time and sat right here. Paid their tithe right here. Gave their offerings right here. Said they love God. Tears streaming down their cheeks right here. Seemed to be the finest among us. But a report just the other day is out in bathing suits, out on the wherever were, and done fell away from God and gone. That's just some of them. The others have said bad words. Got a report of some of them that left from here, that stood right here, that worked side by side with us, that said bad words, ugly words, things that got a hold of them, went back into worldliness. Yes, on and on and on. Why is that? Because they do not give the more earnest heed to the things they've heard. They think, no, it couldn't be me. Not me, but it can be you, friend. It can be me. Yeah, now see, that'll help you. Somebody said, it could be you too, Brother Pike. Well, I'll help you. It could be me. See, that way you don't have to sit there and worry about it being me. See, it could be me. A lot of you think, well, it could be you, Brother Pike. So that'll help you someday. See, it could be me. Now you got that off your mind. Now I want to tell you, it could be you. It could be you. And God sent me here to preach to you. It could be you. There's one man sitting here right now. He just can't get straightened out with God. He's got an old cantankerous sort of an outlook on life and warped up. And if you ever touch him or rub him wrong, he fires off like a firecracker. And you just can't do nothing with him. No way. He's got his ideas about things. And he's just got an old warped up mind about everything. Unless it fits his way of life. But one of these days, God's going to do him like the man said about the turtle. He's going to stick the fire to him. Brother, he's going to come out of the shell and he's going to be humble and sincere, lose his evil way of doing, and he's going to be glad to listen to anybody. Now watch and see. It'll come to pass. All right. What are we going to do at a little Bethlehem? We're just one little group of people out of millions of people that's going to have to stand before God. And I got a feeling that the things that you've heard and the things that you've said and the things that you know, in that I talked to you, spoke to you, told you these things over and over again, I got a feeling that you're going to really be in trouble at the judgment. I got a feeling. Because the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. And I got a feeling that you've heard a whole lot. And you're going to be required, God's going to require a whole lot out of you. And you're really going to be in trouble. And I'll tell you what, if the day tarry, Jesus tarried just a little bit, you're going to be in trouble in this world. But in the judgment, you're really going to be in trouble. A lot of things to be done for God, and we're not doing them. We're busy. We're just too busy, see. We can't get to God's work. And the first news you know, God moves the vineyard. We can't get to it. The Jews said, we're busy. Got a lot of things to do. The Lord said, we'll just move the vineyard. Give it over to the Gentiles. They got more time than you have. Maybe they can take care of it. They've kept it for a long time, and the Jews has went through terror. Almost like a hell on earth. They've been through it. But you know what? God's fixing to take it away from the Gentiles now. The Jews have repented. They're sorry now. They see they're wrong now. And they're begging and pleading to God, see, to graft them back in now. And take these branches that's wild by nature and cut them off. And he's fixing to do it. He's fixing to do it. He's fixing to cut them off. Some of you, I've told you over and over to pay your bills. You lie to me. You say, I'm paying them when you're not paying them. You're lying to me. And the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. God said to owe no man anything. If you owe a man something, you've got to go pay that man, make some arrangements with that man, talk to that man, and let that man know something and not lie about it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about the gospel. You can't sit around and say, I can't do nothing, I can't find nothing, when the Bible said labor that you might have to give to God. You can't sit around and say, well, there ain't nothing for me to do, I just can't find nothing. God said labor that you might have to give to God. Now, if you can't work, then fast. If you can't fast, then pray. If you can't pray, then meditate. Do something. Got to do something all the time. All the time. God is expecting you to do something all the time. Let's get up off of our laziness. Let's do something for God. Let's pay our just and our honest debts or die and go to hell. Now let's do it. Let's get out there and tell them men that we've cheated and swindled out of their money and their substance. Let's get out there and explain to them and tell them, say, man, I'm sorry. God have mercy on my soul. And I'll be up here to help you. And I'll give you a dollar, work it out with you. I'll make some arrangements. And I won't just come up here and lie to you and go another 6 months without seeing something, do you? But I'll set up some kind of system and stick by it. Now, God expects you to do that. And if you don't do that, then you are an evil man. The Bible said the wicked borrow and won't pay back. If you borrow from somebody and you don't pay that back, you are a wicked man. A wicked woman. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm saying you are a wicked person. Now you can call yourself what you want to, but I'm a preacher. I was sent here to tell you what you are. And I tell you, according to the Bible, he that God sends will speak God's word. And if they'd have stood in God's counsel, it caused the men to turn away from their evil doings. I'm telling you, folks, when you borrow money from somebody and you don't pay it back and you shun that person, you are a wicked person. I don't care what you are. You are a wicked person. You might be a builder. You might be a painter. You might be an electrician. You might be anything, but you are a wicked person. All right, I want you to stand with me. Some of you have reproached little Bethlehem to no end. But here's the thing. The Lord has suffered it. I know that He suffered it. He suffered it so the mud would be on it, to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, the intellectuals, to keep them from monopolizing off of it, to keep the banker away and the doctor and all the others, to keep them from taking control, muddy Jordan, that they don't know the virtue in it. See, God did that. He let you do it so that He could hide it. And He'll wipe all the mud away, put it on television, Channel 11, let the people hear it and see it for themselves and hear the testimony, hear what I preach, hear what I stand for, so they can't accuse me, so they'll have to swallow it down and know it was an individual affair and not Bethlehem and the preacher and the people. He'll clean it up to where she's polished like a ripe apple, and everybody will want it, but He's going to burn your fields up for what you did. He let Judas betray Christ. He suffered that, but He set His field on fire till His bowels gushed out. He let them nail Jesus to Calvary. And He knew they was going to do it. Jesus said, I'll go as it's written of me. But woe unto that man by whom I go. God let you cause all the mud for His purpose. He'll use you. He's got dirt daubers. He uses dirt daubers. He's got all kinds of things. But one day, there's going to come a clean up. There's going to come a clean up. He's going to tear all the mud down, kill the dauber. Someday, it's coming. So then you need to get your life right. You need to straighten up. You need to be a man once and for all. You need to stop lying. You need to straighten up. You need to pay your fellow man. You need to go out there. I got a report the other day. 6 different people, I believe it was, that has mistreated one man. 6 different people, supposed to be men of integrity, that has mistreated them. One of them declared that it was an oversight, that they had took advantage of him because of his work, and that some, whoever he worked for, had slighted him with his work, and that they wouldn't pay him, and that he was in a fix, and that he would make it right. And I got a report today he did make it right. So a man must have been a man of integrity. Sometimes that happened. People get in a fix. But when a man don't make it right, and a man don't go back, and a man don't straighten things out, something's wrong with that man. How do you know that can't be the nature of Christ? That can't be the nature of Jesus. How could it? Jesus wouldn't do that. He said, pay your taxes, treat your fellow man right, do right. Oh, it's a sad time. An adulterous generation, sinful generation, marrying 2 and 3 and 4 times, can't be satisfied with nobody or nothing, stealing, cheating, robbing, swindling, greedy dogs that never get enough. Get $100, want another 100. Get $1,000, want another 1,000. People that sit at home reasoning, won't come and help at church over here, won't go help at church any other place. Reasoning, always in their mind, they reason all day long, and it's reason, all day long, till they about drive themselves crazy and break their brain cells down on a nerve, just reasoning. Too lazy to get out and really do something, trying to figure it out in the head, till the nerves about go all to pieces on them. Won't come over here, and they got a reason. There's a line in the street. If you want them to do a little something, that old body's just won't. They've gotten bondage to it. Reasoning, always finding fault, always telling your wife about Brother Pike and about the brethren and all these things. Like a man that come the other day, I might have related this to you, but I want to take a minute to do it again. Fella come the other day from out of state, come to visit my home, sit down, demands a regular supporter, supports all the time. You know, preachers get afraid they'll lose their little dollars, you know, that's coming in, and he won't tell folks the truth. But he sat down and he began to criticize the brethren. Began to tell me how the brethren had done this and how the brethren had done that. How the brethren had mistreated some that was his flesh and blood. How that some that was his flesh and blood had come and not found the love that they should have found, expected to find. And how that their flesh and blood was such a fine person. They said, always been a fine person, such a wonderful person. Just went on. I listened at it 2 or 3 times. When he got through, I looked right straight at him, with all love and respect, not being smart. I said, to the contrary, I said, the brethren have not mistreated the person. I said, and if the persons went liking, no doubt God made them go liking because of the way that they was doing, that they needed it. And I said, there is love here, just exactly like we say that there is. And I said, besides that, the person that's supposed to be so good, I said, ain't living right, ain't doing right, and hasn't been living right. And I said, besides that, I said, not too long ago, the same person come to me and told me that they wasn't living right, wasn't doing right, and that the devil had almost killed him 2 or 3 times, and they felt like the devil would kill him if it didn't get right. Boy, that person closed shop right then and there. The subject changed. There wasn't no more said about the brethren, nobody else. The fellow got a good spirit. The devil went out the window, and all of us got along good. Now, you can help a fellow. Did you know that? Don't stay at home and always tear down the brethren. Don't do that. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Don't take your little wife and keep her mind muddled up like a mud hole all the time and have her and her little children where she don't even know where to come over here to church or whatever. Don't do that. The Lord will put you in a padded cell somewhere or put you in a prison or some kind of institution, or they'll pick you up in a wreck on the highway. Don't do that. Love one another. Work with one another. Get them things out of your mind. And let's be children of God. Don't do something on your own, and because it don't work out the way you think it ought to work out, start surmising and figuring and saying things, blaming the preacher and everybody else when you're the one that instigated it. Preacher didn't have nothing to do with it. Don't suffer your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, the writer said. You love Jesus? All right, I try to talk to you in down-to-earth things, foolish things, very foolish things. See, I could say different from that. I could talk different from that. I got enough understanding and intelligence. I don't have to say those things that sound so foolish. I could be like Brother Roberts and Billy Graham and others and be very careful of everything I think, everything I say, and just put it right down the line. But I love to just get down like a little child and tell you just like I see it and say it just like it sounds and let you hear it just as foolish as it really is. That way you understand, folks. That way you'll be able to do something about it. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Get your heart right with the Lord. Get your heart right with the Lord. Let's love one another. Now that we appreciate the support we're getting from everyone, by the way, the man that I reproved, instead of taking his support away from me, he went back home and put a double on his effort, and now he's really done something for us. So you don't lose it by, you just lose it when you compromise. But you tell the truth, you won't lose it. You'll help somebody. You'll save somebody's soul from the fire. There was somebody came up today, and I thought about this, from Chiefland, Florida. Chiefland. Brother James Ellis might know where that's at. Chiefland, Florida. It was really coincidental in a way, because we're talking about the headstone, you know. He come up from Chiefland, Florida. He's a Baptist fella. He has just quit Pan Am. He's been an aviation pilot. And he and his wife travel around the world, I think, in different places. But he come up here and he said he'd seen us on television, was wanting to meet us and wanting us to come down sometimes in Chiefland, Florida, and visit with him. But I thought about that and what the meeting up yonder had to do with David Paul and the connection between that, and how that David, I asked him today, I said, do you know anything about Chiefland, Florida? At first he didn't, and then all of a sudden he remembered. And just a few days ago, when something was happening spiritually, had to do with something, David had gotten a ticket, I believe, right in Chiefland, Florida. So he remembered it real well. Let's sing this song together, can we? Let's be a real child of God. You say, Brother Pike, you're too strong, you're too hard. Let me ask you a question. If my little Gracie was fixing to jump headlong in a lake of fire, and your little boy or girl was fixing to jump headlong into the burning flames with her, and I was standing there screaming and hollering and had to snap them to attention to get them not to do it, and finally I stopped them, would you feel like that was being too rough on them? Folks, you're fixing to go to hell. Did you know that? I got people in this audience is fixing to drop into the flames of the burning hell. Now you say, Brother Pike, do you know that? I know that. If I didn't, I wouldn't tell you that. They're fixing to drop into the flames of a burning hell. You better do something. You have taken it for granted
that because you're who you are, that you don't have to pay your bills. And you don't have to walk straight. And you don't have to give up your temper. And you don't have to quit gossiping. And you don't have to quit doing these things. But I'm warning you in the name of Jesus. You listen at me. I have one vision right after another. Always having numbers of visions. Numbers of them, because I'm talking with the Lord. Some of them I forget. Many of them I mention here so that they have it on tape. But numbers of them, I forget them myself, even after I go down on tape. But remember, numbers of them is about different ones here. There's numbers of you standing here tonight that I've had visions and dreams and different things about. So you need to perk up. You need to wake up. Just because I don't tell you, don't mean I didn't have something concerning you. A lot of times you ask me, and I evade the issue, and I go out another route to keep from telling you. Because if I told you, it would kill you. It would kill you. If I told you the things that God showed me about you sometime, it would kill you.